Stone, Jones, and Keith here on WEEI. The tiers are up on a Tier Tuesday at Jones and Keith. Who are the best head coaching candidates? Who are the worst? They are up there now. Bill Belichick has his own tier. Josh McDaniels didn't fare too well. Go seek that out again at Jones and Keefe. But it's not only a Tier Tuesday. It is also a Tom E. Tuesday with Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He joins us every Tuesday at high noon. And he's brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. And by Shaw's and Star Market. Shaw's and Star Market, proud to be local since 1860. Tom E. Curran, how are we doing this week?
Tremendous. How are you boys?
Oh, we're doing great.
Doing excellent.
I know your feelings on the game last Sunday against the Chargers was it was sort of a prove-it moment with Drake May, and he proved it to you. Is that your feeling on the game coming out of it?
Yeah, good summation. because I think what you're looking for is the stage too big? Does the player make predictable mistakes, which and I'm sure everybody watching it figured there would be mistakes made. There were, but how does that impact him? Is he afraid to pull the trigger? Does he get in his own head? How long does it bother him? And I think that was the great takeaway from that game relative to May, is he still played like himself. He also still played like a second-year player on a couple of occasions, but he played like himself. And you can contrast that with Herbert. You can contrast that with Stroud. You can contrast that with Jalen Hurts, any number of players. I think that it was really good for them to get in the pool, jump in, get wet, come up and say, oh, okay, water's pretty good here. We're still comfy.
You know, not as comfy in the pocket when Will Campbell, Jared Wilson struggled a bit against the Chargers. How do you view that them going into this game coming up where the defense even kicks up another notch against Houston?
They're going to need a little more help. I really think Campbell, it's kind of a, don't make it too complicated. He didn't get overwhelmed that often during the season. And there were plenty of plays on which he executed well against power rushes, but against Khalil Mack, he got served on a couple of those. So I think that some of it has to do with him getting used to the playoff pressure against future Hall of Fame players and not overthinking it. I also think it has to do with the MCL. If this wasn't a team that was headed for the playoffs, I wonder if he would have continued on this season or would have had surgery and he would probably have been shut down for the year. So I think those two things are worth bearing in mind, but I wouldn't think that anything necessarily has to be done drastically with either player. It wasn't jailbreak after jailbreak after jailbreak. If Ben Brown lends a little more stability and the Patriots decide that at left guard, then I get it. He was coming off a concussion as well. So the one great equalizer I think about having Josh McDaniels there is he'll be able to look at that Houston front, which does get its pressure with four. They're not intense in terms of the number of pressures, but when they get them, it's chaotic. They're middle of the pack in terms of pressure rate, but they're very good. Neil Hunter, obviously, and Will Anderson are two incredible pass rushers. So they're going to have to come up with a plan for it. If that means extra players devoted, then I think that they ought to go ahead and do that.
Other side of the football, the Patriots really upped their blitz rate. I think they were around 26, 27% during the regular season. They were at almost 50% in the game on Sunday night against the Chargers. Is that a one-off against a banged-up and bad offensive line? Is it something they can continue doing? Or is that something that now that it's the postseason, we're going to see a different style of defense?
I think it really depends on who you're going against. And I don't think that, you know, if Robert Spillane is explaining the Chargers players came up to him after the game and said, we had no idea what you were in. And you watched that performance from C.J. Stroud last night, which was five fumbles on some bad exchanges, two on just not being aware and not tucking the ball, a horrible pick. You want to speed him up too. So I think that they would continue with that because of the opponent. Do you want to do that against Josh Allen? I don't know. So I'm not saying it would go just because it worked against the Chargers and might be used against Houston. You want to do that in every game going forward. But this feels like the kind of game in which you should be able to get an advantage. You're going to have an advantage personnel-wise at the quarterback position. Your quarterback is better than their quarterback. Their defense is better than your defense, but who's going to make the mistakes? And May has been not mistake-free, but at least it doesn't turn into a freaking plague since the third week of the season.
Well, this has got to be the best defense Drake May has ever faced. I don't think that's a huge kind of leap on that one. What is the best way for him to have success against Houston? You know, we saw against the Chargers, I mean, his running was a massive factor in the game. Watching Houston last night, watching Houston a little bit this season, what ways do you think Drake May could have success on Sunday?
Throw downfield. They are going to, because of the way they play defense, it's going to be really interesting to watch because they want to press on the outside with Lassiter and Derek Stingley Jr. And sure, you can absolutely press and play man on those guys. And if you want to do that, and the Patriots devote extra protection, if they end up beating that press, and Stingley's ridiculously good, but if they end up beating that press and there's no help over the top necessarily on one side or the other, we've seen them let up big plays. They are middle of the pack in terms of allowing plays of 20 or more yards this season. I think it was like 46. The Patriots had 69 throws of more than 20 yards, which was second in the league. They had, believe it or not, I think it was 16. It'll be on Tom Curran's Patriots Talk podcast later. I think it was 16 carries of 20 or more yards, which was third in the league. So I think this will be another game in which explosive plays are going to be the difference maker. And they actually, D'Amico Ryan's coached alongside Saleh when with San Francisco. So they are another team that will play some, you know, that three deep zone, which is something that McDaniels has always been able to scheme something up as the day goes along against.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. The big plays over the top is Tommy Curran's Drake Take, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. This is not to undercut their win, Tom, over the Chargers. Like, I think anybody focusing on the schedule and the easy teams they played, that should be out the window now that they beat an 11-win team with a really good defense on Sunday night. I'm curious, though, your thoughts on Justin Herbert. Now 0-3 in the postseason and not a very good performance on Sunday. What do you think of Herbert?
I think he fits the suit. He is Johnny Bravo. And as a result, people continue to say, oh, he's really good. It was a great, there's a guy named Ethan Strauss who has a great Substack that I really enjoy. He's based out in San Francisco and media and football. And he had a theory about why Justin Herbert doesn't suffer the same scrutiny despite coming up short as some other players do. And he said it's because they have a transient fan base. They were in San Diego, which is not anybody's idea of a cutthroat fan base. And then they've since moved to Los Angeles and been there for 7 years. They don't have a home fan base like New England, Philadelphia, New York, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, where people are going to be calling for heads when things don't go well. So as a result, you only have the national media sitting there kind of scrutinizing Justin Herbert. And because he fits the suit, no one gets under the hood and looks at play after play, the mistakes that he makes in these big games. And that was a really bad performance. Mm-hmm. You can't make a play. And Stroud had a couple last night too. But with the game on the line, you're on your own too. Just don't make things worse. And for Justin Herbert to take a half a step, be locked up, and still decide to try and swing it sideways was just bizarro behavior.
Do you think last night marks the end of Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh and or Aaron Rodgers in the NFL?
If Pittsburgh is serious about wanting to contend for Super Bowls, it can't look at the results of the last 7 years and say, this is a guy who's going to bring us there. Because you can look at Pro Football Talk this morning. Michael David Smith did a good story on it, detailing the results of their last 7 postseason appearances. And they get boat raced every single time. Look, in 2021, when the Patriots went, were they 10-7 or 11-6, whatever they were, by the time they got into that game against Buffalo and got murdered 47-17, you realize that there's just so much difference, and the playoff consequences should be so much more magnified in terms of decision-making by a team. If you're serious about being a a Super Bowl contender. You can't have the same measure when you're a bad team rebuilding. But if you're a top 12 to 16 team, and you know that when you get to the playoffs, you're going to be outclassed every single time significantly, then you really should scrutinize it. As for Rodgers, it's not going to get any better. He's going to beat bad teams, and he's going to lose to good ones because he can't move around enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just got the vibe from listening to Aikman, too, that Aikman heard something in production meetings or whatever that Rodgers is done. Not to get ahead of ourselves, Tom, but if the Patriots beat the Houston Texans on Sunday, they're in the AFC title game, who should the Patriots be rooting for, the Broncos or the Bills on that other AFC matchup?
I would say they should root for the Bills. Don't have to do a ton of prep on them. You'll get the game at home. You're going to get the best player in the league. But you don't want to go to Denver. You just don't want to go to Denver. Do you agree with me?
So I was really close on that. I ultimately think I would rather avoid Josh Allen. This team has been so good on the road this year that I guess I'll take my chances there.
It's a 51-49.
It really
is. Close.
Damned if you do, you damned if you don't, boys.
No, but I I'm with Keith on this, though. I wouldn't want Allen coming in. He's never won a playoff road game before this past weekend. And then he goes to Denver and beats Denver, and he's one step away from his first Super Bowl. Like, I don't want to deal with that. But I'd agree with you, Tom. It's a coin flip.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's supposed to happen if you're going to be a guy who ends up in the conversation as one of the – and he could. He needs a better playoff resume. But if and when we look back on Josh Allen's career – this feels like it could be it shapes up as a capstone season, you know, where you go out and you don't have a good team. You win on the road. I mean, freaking Jacksonville is so much better than Buffalo. And Trevor Lawrence didn't play terribly. They just got Josh Allen the same way the Patriots got Josh Allen. I mean, the Patriots loss again, they didn't have the ball. They failed defensively. But offensively, we had that conversation then. They didn't have the ball because Allen was just so relentless on third down. They couldn't get him off the friggin' field. So he's a problem now.
Eight openings right now in the NFL. Could be nine, I guess, if the Steelers end up moving on from Tomlin. We were looking at some of the candidates that are out there. I really don't think it's going to happen, Tom, but any chance that either Josh McDaniels or Bill Belichick even get an interview from any of these teams?
Haven't heard. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Just like you. I haven't heard that. Especially on Josh, I have not heard that mentioned. I think with Bill, the reason I say especially Josh is, I can't imagine Bill going through a process where he's, all right, we got Jesse Minter coming in, and then Belichick's waiting outside. We'll talk to him in a minute. He will not submit to that.
Yeah, I agree.
Someone made that observation earlier this offseason. Don't know if it was you that mentioned it to me, but they said, look, if Bill Belichick becomes the head coach, it will come out of nowhere. And it's probably because of that.
Yeah,
he already
got
shamed.
Yep.
Not shamed. He already got – it was humiliating for him,
I'm sure. That was embarrassing.
It was tough. We have seen Thomas Brown. Teams have reached out or are interested in interviewing Thomas Brown. Is that a guy they could lose off this staff? Like, even if it's not a head coaching job, like, could he – take a offensive coordinator position somewhere next year, you think?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, all these guys are smart enough, whether it's Vrabel, McDaniels, Mayo, as the season goes along, you do have to find your cohort of peers who would look at you and say, all right, if I get something, they're going to ask me who my staff is. Would you be that? Would you consider doing that for me? So, and there's so many guys who want to elevate. I mean, they're freaking lottery tickets. These head coaching jobs, they're all guaranteed. You're going to be guaranteed like $60 million.
We were actually just talking about this, Tom, before the show. Like, I was like, oh, man, if I was a coach, I'd want to get hired in Pittsburgh because you're guaranteed like a decade. And Keith's like,
I don't know.
It's really not that bad to be like Josh McDaniels.
You get paid.
Out of football for a year playing pickleball and eating Chipotle.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, they are. I mean, Matt Patricia. I mean, they're like lottery tickets to get these jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll do anything, say anything, be whoever the head coach wants you to be so that you could put yourself in position. I mean, look at how much, and that includes us in the media, but look how much Brady and Belichick and the Patriots organization's success created probably billions of dollars, not just locally for businesses, for the local economy, but for individuals who were somehow affiliated with the team. It goes back to Tom Ashworth, who went and signed with Seattle in 2004 after they won a Super Bowl. And he was a spare part offensive lineman, and he went and made a crap ton of money. The presence of Brady and Belichick has just lifted all boats. So I've gone far afield, but it is remarkable when you think about it.
Okay. He's Tommy Curran. Joins us every Tuesday at high noon. We call it a Tommy Tuesday. Check out his work at NBC Sports Boston. Keep an eye out for the Tom E. Curran Patriots Talk podcast. And follow him on Twitter at Tom E. Curran. Tom, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Thank you, Tom.
Tommy Curran joining us here. Brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers and Shaw's and Star Market. Look, I think they are lottery tickets. It's a good way of putting it. Because as I just told Tom, and this is something we were talking about before the show. Yeah. Keith, you're like, what do you think Mayo's doing right now? Like, honestly, maybe that's not a bad
whatever
question
he wants.
For Tom. But like, what if,
whatever
like,
he wants.
Mayo, it was like, I'm sure, ashamed of the job he did. And maybe he felt like he got a raw deal.
Okay, but if, as long as you have like a thick skin and you have like good friends, who cares?
But what's he doing in the meantime?
Whatever he wants.
I'm telling you.
He could be in Cancun. And he's like, oh, I'm going to leave Cancun. I'm going to go to Puerto Rico. I'm going to leave Puerto Rico. I'm going to go to Barbados.
I read Mike Reese.
Europe. Go do whatever you want.
I read Mike Reese, Bragg, last week. And he was talking about Drake. The first time McDaniels and May met was a Zoom.
Yeah.
But the first time they met in person, May went and played pickleball with McDaniels because that's all McDaniels is doing for a year and a half.
Why
just
not?
Just sitting around playing pickleball every day. No responsibilities.
Well, it's incredible,
millions
too.
Millions and millions and millions of dollars to just go walk down the street and play pickleball.
It's sort of the other side of it where the NFL, I guess all sports have done this, but the NFL in particular has gone to hiring more and more really young coaches.
Yep.
You know, remember before it was like, oh my God, John Madden's so young, and it like broke everybody's brains because these guys were usually like 50, 60 when they were coaching. Now, you can be a head coach for 2 years, fired, have three more years of $10 million coming in a year, and you're 37? Do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's incredible.
That is.
So, yeah, it's a little embarrassing. You're not going to go in the Hall of Fame. You're going to be, maybe you're a joke, or maybe when you come back, you have to be a coordinator. Okay. It's a pretty good life.
Plus, let's not pretend we're not getting embarrassed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I've been embarrassed quite a bit in my life. So I would like to take the
every
trade
Thursday
of
night.
Sick brag, bro.
I would like to take the trade of tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
No shame in that.
Yeah. Every time I get in the shower.
Anywho,
yeah, right.
I thought Tom had some good insight on the game too. The X plays, as Vrabel likes to call
how
them.
How about that? Chugging them deep could be, and we played the highlight from the first time Drake May played Houston. Kayshon Booty,
great point.
Could be a Booty over game.
So even better point
over Booty.
No, so that to me is counterintuitive. You're like, oh, let's throw it deep against a just fearsome pass rush from Houston.
Yeah, right. How much time are you gonna have?
But that's interesting, and we can get more into that when we get to the matchup at 617-779-7937. We got a key for madness for you on the way about a half an hour from now at 12:45. So stay tuned for it. Plus, right after trending with Billy Lanny, let's get into the latest on a couple of players in concussion protocol: Christian Gonzalez and Nico Collins. That's next.